Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the transfigured Christ. Amen. It was a mistake. Piled as many eighth graders as I could into a van on a 400-mile trip to Outlaw Ranch in the Black Hills of South Dakota for a week of confirmation camp. I had borrowed a beautiful conversion van, and amongst its many amenities was a sound system with speakers on every conceivable surface in that conversion van. Because it was such a long trip, 400 miles, I had promised the kids they could play whatever they wanted. I had no idea what 400 miles of REO Speedwagon would do to my mental health. That was a mistake. But it was not a mistake to be at Outlaw Ranch for that week, a beautiful slice of God's creation, a wonderful week to grow in spirit and in faith. The week went by so quickly. And on the last morning, when it was still dark and we were asleep, there was a pounding on our cabin door with instructions to get up, get on some clothes, and follow your cabin counselor. I worried that there was some emergency as we hurried to get out of the cabin. As we exited, we got onto a trail following our counselor, and from either side, I could see other cabins of kids being similarly led by their counselors. We were all going toward the same area. We stopped in a clearing of sorts, and a counselor started strumming a guitar. Other counselors soon joined in. It was quite apparent that we had been jolted out of bed for an early morning worship service. We were seated in a clearing on the top of a hill, a forest behind us to the east. And as worship progressed, we saw a little bit of light filtering through the trees. The farther the worship went along, the more light that came through the trees. Now, clearly, these counselors had done this many weeks in a row, and they had consulted the sunrise for the day, because as we finished that worship service, and as we were singing the praise of God's creation, the sun burst over the top of those trees and lit up the opposing hillside in a splendor that is difficult to describe. I wanted to just sit there. I was so moved by the worship, by the kids' respect of the worship and God's creation, of the sun, of the music. I wanted to etch that permanently into my spiritual memory of God's grace. Is that what the disciples were feeling, and more so, on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus shining like the sun. Now, they've been with Jesus for some time, traveling with him. They have seen him cure people and cast demons out of others. They have heard him preach and teach. They have witnessed him caring for people with his great love. They have seen his miracles, casting demons out, turning water into wine. They have seen him calm wind and waves, multiplying loaves and fishes. This Jesus is something special. But on the mountain this day, this is an otherworldly experience. It would put the special effects in Hollywood to shame. Shining like the sun, it must have been difficult for Peter and other mortals to even look onto that spectacle. Last week I heard the story of one of our Bethel children who is always in church, always at worship, and he is at this specific church service. If you sit on the north side of the sanctuary, every once in a while you are blessed with the sun rays coming through and hitting you right in the face. Now, we're going to go to daylight saving time in just a couple of weeks, and that sun is going to move over here, and even more of you are going to be blessed with the movement of the sun until it turns higher in the summer and the angle is so deep that it only lights up this area. Well, one Sunday, this little boy at Bethel was getting that sunlight straight into his eyes, and it's almost in his eyes right now as I speak. He got down off of the pew, rummaged in his activity bag, and he pulled up a pair of sunglasses. He put them on and declared, "That's better." And in the sunglasses, there were no lenses. Maybe Peter needed a pair of sunglasses that day with lenses intact. Or maybe he didn't. He certainly needed something. He had just witnessed this tremendous spectacle, and as a man of action, he believed that he needed to do something. He needed to do anything. And so, in order to preserve this moment of glory, he suggested that maybe he should make three dwellings or tents or booths, various translations of the Bible, one for Jesus and two for the giants of the faith that have come back for this very moment, Moses and Elijah, representing the law and the prophets. Have you ever been ignored? So totally ignored? You've offered something in a conversation and everybody else in the room just continues on as if you have never said anything? That is exactly what happens to Peter. In fact, if you took out that one verse from the story you have heard this morning about Peter wanting to build his dwellings, we wouldn't have missed anything except for corroboration of Peter's impulsive spirit. We would have gone from the shining face of Jesus, conversation with Moses and Elijah, and going right into the voice from heaven. "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am pleased. Listen to him." Wouldn't have missed Peter even a little bit. But this story just gets more and more fantastic. We have this guy shining like the orb in the sky. We have these giants of the faith coming back. Now we have voices from heaven. At least by now, Peter is not planning a trip to Menards to buy building materials. Instead, he is so overcome with fear with the rest of the disciples that he hits the deck. But even in this moment of glory, Jesus has great care and love for his disciples. He goes, he touches them and says, "Do not be afraid." And when they look up, they see Jesus only. Peter wanted to do something. He wanted to do anything. But it was not a time for action. It was a time for awe and for worship. Without doubt, you have heard that saying, don't just sit there, do something. Maybe one of the learnings from this Bible passage is, don't just do something, sit there. Is there a time in our worship lives that we are simply to sit and drink in all of what God offers to us? Maybe it's on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. Maybe it's in the beauty of the Black Hills or some other place, watching the majesty of God's sun rise in the east. Maybe it is thinking about the wonder of the cross on Good Friday or the matchless resurrection of Easter. Maybe it is just thanking God for all that God has done for us, both in creation and in Jesus. Fair is the sunshine, fair is the moonlight, bright the sparkling stars on high. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer, Then all the angels in the sky. Don't just do something. Sit there. And on this last Sunday of Epiphany, the transfiguration of the Lord, we sit and we drink in the glory and the brightness of Christ. It's not going to last. Already by this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, we change our discipline and our character of worship. That was true as well in the biblical story. Jesus and his disciples need to come down from the mountain. They need to re-engage with the world. The crowd presses in. Jesus' first act is to heal a boy of a demon. But perhaps that's for another day. Perhaps for this day, it is enough just to sit and drink in the brightness, the whiteness of Christ. When Christ shines for all. When Christ shines for you. Amen.